It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
And my thing here, all our suffering, all our pain, somebody needs to be held accountable, and they need to pay.
Man, them jokers was big, size of a quarter, doggone. He said, kapuya, kapuya. And your boy that hell just came in. I looked at my, opened my door, and I looked out my door, and started hitting me in my head. I took out running, ran to my restroom, and then I called my mama to see what she all right.
I'm asking the script be flipped and asking what the country can do for me and the people in this room and this nation.
Obama!
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He what? Gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone? How did he give you a phone?
You sign up, you're on full stamps, you're on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey!
I love my kids, and I can care less what anybody think about it.
Are you able to pay child support?
I can't pay no child support right now. They know I can't pay them no child support right now.
What about contraception? Was that just not an option for you?
I was young, ambitious. I was just young and ambitious, and I loved women. Hey, you can't knock no man for loving women.
That's a woo, almost like a train. As it was clear, then all of a sudden it got dark, raining real hard, you couldn't see.
Yes, y'all come to get the car. The car is not here. The car is in the shop, and one part is at another shop. If y'all wanted that bag, y'all can go pay that man to get it out, and then pay the person to get the other part out. I mean, because y'all act like y'all couldn't be patient. You knew that we was going to get it taken care of. So if y'all wanted that bag, y'all can go get it. You pay the man and pay the other man, and we can leave it as that. Because we're not owing that much on the car. Y'all want to trip on it now that we only got on $1,000 or $2,000 on it. So you know what? God bless y'all. Y'all can go pick up the car. So you know what? Give me a call back, and I will give you the directions to where the man is. And I will let him know that y'all going to be paying him to get it out. Because y'all don't be patient. We're not rich like y'all. That's one thing y'all going to have to understand. But one day, this year, we will be. Because we have Barack Obama.
This is and I talked to you twice. My schedule's still not fixed. Now, I could see if I failed a class, but I did not fail no class. I got a C out of my medical law exit. You still got my shit on here on the damn computer about me going to this motherfucking class. I'm sorry to cuss you out, but I don't like my money to be fucking played with. I don't get no fucking loan. I'll pay for my damn school, woman. My shit better be straight when the fuck I get up in there tomorrow, Tuesday. And I'm not playing with y'all motherfuckers up there, and I'm very serious about that. I hate to get ugly with y'all, but y'all pissing me the fuck off, and I mean this shit. And I'm not the type of person to be cussing like this, but when I'm paying for my school, and you fucking with my money, and my damn school, and I know I passed them class, and you making me take some bullshit for no motherfucking dumb shit, because your motherfucking damn substitute teacher fucked up my motherfucking tennis shit, you got me fucked up. You better get my shit straight, and I'm not playing with y'all motherfuckers up there. When I come in there tomorrow, after I take my CPR class, I better have a new damn class to go to, because, bitch, I passed this other damn class. I got a C out of that. I got an A in mistake class. So now I'm going to tell you this. All the months I've been there, I ain't never had no damn problem with y'all motherfuckers. But this time, I do got a problem with y'all. When it comes to my money paying for something, I don't want to be fucking play with. When it's coming out of my damn pocket. Now, if y'all want me to take this damn class, you gonna pay for it, because I'm not. Now, I should better be straight when I come up there tomorrow, and I'm not playing with you. Bye.
Dave Bing and his man, and the governor, y'all problem is y'all just sitting up there and collecting a check. If y'all really want to run the city of Detroit, come around here in every block of the city
Detroit, look through these houses. If they ain't no good, tear their down so people can stop finding dead relatives in these damn houses. And pay these damn Detroit cops what they supposed to earn for being out here protecting the city of Detroit. If not, put my in office. I'll show you how to damn run the city of damn Detroit. And I don't know nothing about it. But I learned quick, fast, and hurt to get y'all sorry up out of here and do the right damn thing. That's why the hell the city of Detroit. That's why people don't want to come to the city of Detroit. Because y'all sorry getting off your and doing it was y'all damn family members. Y'all to do the right damn thing. So kiss my black to get off the office. Bye.
Tell me your name.
Oh, my name?
That was good.
Is Melinda Brown Duncan, baby. Now, come find me. I'll show you what's better to run the city of Detroit. And sorry.
Kanye West is what happens when Negroes don't read. And we have this now, and now Donald Trump is going to use it and pervert it, and he's going to have somebody who can stand with him and take pictures. Just looking at Scott's
face. Listen, black folks are about to trade Kanye West in the racial draft, okay? They've had it with him, and he's an attention whore like the president. He's all of a sudden now the model spokesperson. He's the token Negro of the Trump administration. This is ridiculous, and no one should be taking Kanye West seriously. He's clearly has issues. He's already been hospitalized.
Floyd, you're on the Michael Berry Show. What say you, Floyd?
Yes, sir. First of all, my sympathy out to the last caller there and lost his nephew. But I'm kind of a brainstormer, and I was listening to your program yesterday. I tried to get on, but I couldn't quite make it. But anyway, the thing is about the racing. Once again, I'm a brainstormer, and so somebody can add to it or take away from what I'm about to say here. But the thing is that the property taxes is killing everybody. And, it could possibly do away with it if they came up with a sales tax and then took some of the money from the lottery and threw it over into that and then took the racing money and put it into that. Might be able to do away with the whole dang property tax deal. What do you think?
Well, they could, but they won't, because
I know that too.
The choice of where to spend that money is what they love doing more than anything else. We have a massive surplus, and you think about how much you pay. I don't know what you pay in property taxes, but I know what I do. You never actually own your property in the state of Texas. You're just renting it from the state.
No, you don't.
Because you never get to stop paying. Floyd, how old are you?
Closing in on 70.
70, okay. What do you do for a living?
I'm kind of an entrepreneur. I've done a number of things, but I've got a small bottled water company. I've got a little resale and a bait shop, and we sell portable buildings. We do a little bit of everything.
Where do you do all this?
Down in El Campo, Texas, here in Paradise.
Do people know you? If I was to say Floyd, would they know, or would I have to give them the last name?
No, I think everybody around would have some type of story about me.
What's your last name, Floyd?
Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R.
The Czar of Talk Floyd Radio, Fisher. The Michael Berry Show.
I played sports growing up, and when I was 13, I was playing baseball, and one time I was up to bat, and I get walked, so I take my base, and when I got to first base, I turned around, and the catcher was still holding the ball, and he was, like, staring at me, almost like he was, like, daring me to run. Like, he was like, go, I bet you can't make it, and I was like, all right, dude, I'm going to go. So I ran to second, he threw it to second, overthrew second base, ball goes in the outfield. I run to third, the outfield grabs the ball, they overthrow third base, so the coach is telling me to go home. This is about to be an inside-the-park home run off a walk. I mean, I'm going to be on SportsCenter. This is the biggest thing that's ever happened in baseball. And I slide. There's a play at the plate. And then the umpire says it was only ball three. So, it's three balls, two strikes. Next pitch, immediately strike out. Yeah, I learned something. I learned that if you're confident, you can get away with quite a bit. Because no one tried to stop me, and they should have. They knew I wasn't supposed to go. Like, that's why the catcher was holding the ball. Because he was like, I don't think he's supposed to be going, right? Like, why is he going? And then I just run to second. He's like, I guess I'm wrong. You know, no one's that dumb. All right, thank you guys so much.
Cindy in Baytown, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Yes, sir. I just have a perspective on Ukraine that I'd like to share. First of all, Biden is a complete doofus, and we never would have been to this point had Trump been in office. The second point is, for 6 months, Biden told us, oh, Russia's going to invade. Well, duh, I think we knew that. The third point, they had asked for from the get-go for MiGs. Ukrainian pilots know how to fly Russian MiGs. The Russian MiGs are at an air base in Poland. Poland agreed to let the Ukrainian pilots fly the MiGs, but Biden and his chief of staff, I mean the, you know, four-star general, what's his name, said, no, that's an escalation. Well, how can that be an escalation when Ukrainians are the ones that got invaded? They're on the defense. So to me, that would be a defensive action, not an offensive. And thirdly, or whatever point I'm on, I just think that, you know, whether we should have been there or could be or not be there is beside the point now. We're there. The problem is, and I'm going to throw this out, 38th parallel, MacArthur, Vietnam, Barry Goldwater. I was 15 when the Tet Offensive in January 66 took place. I watched Vietnam on my TV when I was a teenager. And I started out thinking, you know, we should be there. Gradually, as I got older and I saw, you know, the protests, I thought, well, what are they doing protesting that? And then I realized, well, this is an endless war. You know, either if you're going to go into some place, do it, get it over with. Like Barry Goldwater said, make the North Vietnam a mud puddle. That's what he would have done. MacArthur couldn't go past the 38th parallel. So now we have North, South Korea. We have North, South Vietnam. So, you know, if you're going to do this, if you're going to go in there, give the people what they need, like the Ukrainians have fought tooth and nail. Give them what they need to get it done. Defeat Russia. What do we want to do here? Do we want to have another 20-year engagement? Give them the MiGs. The pilots aren't going to be flying them. Their pilots are going to be flying them. They're Russian MiGs. There's a World War II program, the buyback program, where we did something with airplanes. I don't know the details, but they threw that out there at the beginning. Why don't we do that with Ukraine? You know, Poland has the MiGs. They can fly. And I don't know if that's our airbase in Poland. I don't know if it's a Poland airbase or if it's an American airbase. But, you know, they could have done a lot of damage flying those MiGs. And this never would have gone on for how long now? A year? It makes no sense. And I know you agree with that part of my premise, that getting these wars, or, you know, not that I'd ever say put boots on the ground, no. But for Pete's sake, after billions and billions of dollars, and now you're just now going to send them tanks, which they won't get for a year. I don't, you know, either get in, get it over with, or don't go at all. You there?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper. But since you want to help, maybe you can help me, okay? You remember that thing we had about 30 years ago called the Korean conflict?
Yeah, where we failed to achieve victory. How come we didn't cross the 38th parallel and push those rice eaters back to the Great Wall of China and take the first brick and nuke them back into the Stone Age River? How come? Tell me why. Say it. Say it.
All right. I'll say it. Because Truman was too much of a wimp to let MacArthur go in there and blow out those commie bastards.
Good answer. Like the way you think. We're going to be watching you.
A good teacher. He really seems to care about what I have no idea.
I blow a hole in your face and then I go in the house and I sleep like a baby. You can count on that.
Mike, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Michael. I wanted to thank you for the tribute that you did for your brother the other day. Chris happened to die on my dad's first birthday after his passing. And, you know, there was another thing that you and your show did to help me with some of the grieving. And I was on the Father's Day show that you did. I sent a message, and my mom was going to church that morning, and before she went into Mass, she was listening to your show, and she heard me do the tribute to my father, and she had to compose herself, obviously, before she actually went into church. There were so many other of my dad's friends that came to me afterwards and just told me that, man, that's so genuine and powerful, and how much I miss him. And I'm sure you do this with Chris. You probably pick up the phone to go call him, you know, from time to time. And man, I was really hurting on Wednesday, so your show was very therapeutic in hearing everybody call in and share. I mean, everybody grieves differently, but we all grieve, and starting to learn that it's a process that I guess it'll probably just stay with me. You know, he was my mentor. You know, he turned me into the man that I am. And, you know, I'm trying to live my life as a servant in the ministries that I do. And next week, I actually get to lead a prison ministry retreat, and I incorporated, you know, a lot of what's happened in the last 18 months or so into my talk, because a lot of these guys I know just, they didn't have one good parent, and they had a lot of guilt for not being a good father because they're incarcerated. But, man, it was just really wanted to thank you for that show, and I felt it in your voice that day, and that's one to thank you, and I know it helped a lot of other people.
What'd your dad die of?
Just of heart failure. He had a bovine implant put in 2016, and it bought him, you know, they said 5 years. He got 5 and a half, and I don't know if the jab added to his decline, but I was fortunate enough to spend that last month in the hospital with him. He died at home. You know, didn't die in a lot of pain, so couldn't have written a better script. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that, my man. 713-999-1000. 713-999-1000.
It's Ramon, the King of Ding. And this other guy, Michael Berry.
Go!
put this little nugget. It doesn't fit nicely into the beginning of a show. And maybe not necessarily at the end. If you're on hold, just hang tight. 713-999-1000. But I had dinner last night with my best friend, Jerry McGill, at Cafe Paquette, our favorite little Cuban joint. And that's where we would usually gather to catch up on what's going on with his business and his family and the show and my family. And so we are eating away, and he said, and we were talking about people in the food service business. And Jerry does, he's known as Dr. Drinks. He does custom mixes for bars and restaurants. Their pina colada and all that. And he sends them their mix, but he creates a special mix. If you drink the pina colada at San Luis in Galveston, that's not the same pina colada you'll drink at the Holiday Inn next door, even though Tillman owns both of them. That's a unique to that particular bar pina colada. And some people don't notice those things, but some people do. You'll go to a certain bar for a particular drink that they have that no one else has, and there's a reason, because they make sure that no one else has it. It's custom built for them. Anyway, so we're talking about hospitality industry and different people. And he said, I got to tell you what happened to me today. I drove through a Chick-fil-A, and I'm not sure which one it was. Doesn't matter. He said, I pull up, and Chick-fil-A has the most amazing drive-through service, the way they put the people out there and iPads. You think about how many people were in the food service business for so long and the fast food and never figured out how to do what Chick-fil-A managed to do. And he said, I pull up on the guy and I'm fidgeting around in my truck. I'm not paying attention. And I pull right up on him. He comes up to my door. And he says, and he's got his little iPad and he's ready to take my order. And I look down and it kind of startled me. He said he has Down syndrome. And he thought, oh, wow, this is going to be interesting. So the guy asks him, you know, what can I get you? As polite as he could possibly be, as kind, as solicitous as he could possibly be. And so Jerry gives him his order. I don't know what the order was, but he had kind of one of those When Harry Met Sally deals where, you know, put the pickles over here and think, and the reason was because he had picked up lunch for him and his wife. Jerry will eat anything. But his wife wanted, Renee wanted, you know, I want this on the side. And he said, I give this guy the most complicated order. And I'm thinking there's no way he's going to get it right. But I don't feel like, I feel bad already. And so I'm not going to correct him. She's going to have to take whatever she gets and I'll bring it back to the office and I'll explain. And he said, but. And he looks up and he said, sir, can I repeat your order? And he said, danged if he didn't get it right. They never, ever get it right. And he said, you know, I think it was taxing his full intellectual capacity to get that order right. And he was throwing everything he had at it. And he said, I swear, when I was done with the order, I rolled my window up and I got a tear in my eye because I thought, how many people have this job and they half-ass it? They don't care one bit. And we were talking about that guy. He's standing out. He's dealing with the public all day long. You think how mean people can be. You think how mean young people can be. Think if there's two high school students. How many times a day does somebody say something that just destroys that guy? And it might have happened to the car in front of him. And he plugs on ahead. And so we were talking about, he said, it reminds me of your Target story a few years ago. And some of you have heard the story, but I was at the Target right next to our station on San Felipe. And at the tracks there, it's kind of like the River Oaks Target. It's right there at 610 San Felipe. And I go in the middle of the afternoon when there's nobody at the shops except for hot women in yoga pants, because nobody shops at that time. Most people shop when they get off from work. And so all the River Oaks moms with their cute little ponytails coming through their ball cap and their yoga pants and tennis shoes, it's adorable. And I go up and ask for something, and whatever it was, water pick for my wife, whatever the thing was, it wasn't something that was obvious to find. And I walk up on the guy, and I'm behind him when I ask. And so I just see the back of his head. And I said, excuse me, sir, can I ask you where? And he turns around, and he's got these huge hearing aids in his ears. And I stop, like, oh, I can't ask him this. He can't hear me. And he gives me this look, like, carry on. And so I ask him, you know, where this particular item is. And I was immediately regretting having asked him where this damn thing was and thinking, why didn't you just go find it yourself? But I'm the guy, if you've ever seen this guy, I'm the guy that walks in. I don't go looking. I'm like, hey, what aisle can I find this? Just, y'all have nothing else going on. Can you just point me to the aisle? And even better, can you walk me there? Anyway, there's more to the story, but I'm up in the
Southern Pride, Southern Pride. The Michael Berry Show.
Late one morning, I just packed my things, burned all my bills, and I hopped on a plane. I told the cops and the bankers goodbye. They said, don't let us catch you, you owe us your life. Well, the plane's headed east, and so I was bound for Tennessee to outrun the fuss. They found me in a day or two, and now I'm flat busted in jail, fighting the Nashville blues. I like George Jones, Willie and Will, and I think Chris and Merle, songwriting saviors. Towns Van Zandt, well, he died too soon, but now he's up there with Hank, and they're both fighting the Nashville blues.
So I walk up on this guy, and I only see him from behind. He's got a big head of blonde, wavy hair. Looks like he's probably late 20s. Nothing else sticks out. I don't notice anything. And I'm in my own little world anyway. I'm looking to pick something up for my wife and get in and get out. I'm not a shopper. So I walk down the aisle where he has his back to me and turn to the side, and he's stocking at the Target there on San Felipe at 610. And as I'm walking up on him, I said, excuse me, sir, can you tell me where the, I'll say water pick, I don't know what it was, is, where they keep the water picks. And he kind of turns and he looks at me, and it's clear he probably doesn't speak because he obviously can't hear. You can see these things in his ears. And he has this look on his face, or he can't hear well, because he does actually hear me. That comes through in a minute. And then I said, never mind. And I put my hand out like, I'm sorry. And he says, he kind of, when you can't hear, you can't talk. Rush used to talk about how he stopped doing impersonations when he lost his hearing. And if it hadn't been for that, was it Envoy system that gave him his hearing back, that plugged directly into his brain? He was one of the first people to have that. And, but for that, he would have lost, he wouldn't have been able to do his job. Wouldn't have been able to, because if you can't hear, you can't talk. So anyway, so the guy is trying to get out that, no, let's, and so, no. And so I'm following behind him, but he doesn't know where it is. So he goes to get his supervisor. His supervisor also doesn't speak, but he's trying desperately to help me, to ask me a question to help me clarify where it goes. And it sounds something like, and I can't really understand what he's saying. And all I'm thinking is, why did I bother these guys? They're doing their jobs. It's commendable they're doing it. And then he kind of snaps his finger, and he realizes, I know what he wants, and I know where it is. So he starts leading me around the corner, and he takes me right to it, and he points to it. And he has a look on his face of sheer happiness that he has been able to help me. And I said, that's it. Gosh, thank you. Wow. I'm so excited. So we have this little moment, and he's excited, and I'm excited. And at about this time, there is a woman coming down the aisle, and she does the same thing I did. She asks for whatever item, and he goes into the same thing, and he makes this sort of sound. And she pitches an absolute fit. Oh! Oh! So you can't even help me. Well, then we start walking back, and the guy who's his supervisor, I think, I'm not sure these people are Target employees. I think that Target outsources to something like Brookdale or one of these services, which, by the way, is a pretty cool deal. I'll have my criticisms for Target, but the fact that they are giving work to adults with diminished capacity in whatever form. They can't speak, they can't hear. I think that's pretty cool. And I don't know what they pay them. I don't know what the program is. I don't know if there's a tax benefit, a government benefit. I don't know if somebody said, you know what, we're going to take the hit. It doesn't matter. It's an extra bit of work, but we're going to do this because it's the right thing to do. Maybe somebody had an adult, had a child who is an adult with diminished capacity. It doesn't matter what word you use. You can say disabled. You can say retarded. You can say mute, dumb, deaf. It doesn't, the words don't matter. People think that matters. It doesn't. We were able to save the school for the retarded on Allen Parkway when I was on city council. It was one of the things I was most proud of. They were trying to sell off that piece of property, but that property had been there for decades, and those people, that was their home, and we were able to save it. And I took such pride in making such an ass of myself that the mayor at the time finally gave up because I was really making an issue of this thing. And I don't really know where to put all of that. But it got me to thinking, and I have said this before, some of you have heard me say this. So my mother's sister, Gail, what got me thinking about this before Jerry said it was that 2 days ago we went in, see my parents, and while we're going, my mom calls my Aunt Gail, and she's in an assisted living center, and my Aunt Gail weighs maybe 70 pounds. She is so tiny and always has been. She drags her leg, she drags her arm, and she is the single happiest person you've ever met. She stopped developing past about the age of 4. But she wanted to tell us how she had won bingo at the center with the 90-year-old women. She had won 3 times that day. And guess what she got? She got to pick her prize. And you know what she picked? 2 bags of Cheetos. But she was going to save them for tomorrow. She wasn't going to eat them for today. And I guess the only takeaway I have from that story is 2 things. You don't realize how many people you cross in the course of a day who go home and care for somebody or have a brother, sister, mother, well, not no, brother, sister, son or daughter who they care for, who is an adult of, and that's an all-consuming deal. It is overwhelming how much time and energy and capacity it takes out of you. But it also makes you think to yourself, my Aunt Gail is, honest to goodness, happier than 99.999% of people. I can't think of anyone I know who's happier than her. Because everything in our lives that we are able to do because we are full-bodied, full intellectual capacity is causing us stress, anxiety, unhappiness, and worry. And she has none of that. She sits and reads about Dolly Parton's birthday and tells me, you know, Dolly Parton, you know, she just turned, whatever it is, 75. I did, Gail. Did you ever meet her? So I'll have to lie and say yes. That's so interesting.